In reflecting on the readings today, one of the things that really came to me was how, in our lives, God always takes the initiative. And not only that, the initiative that he takes is so good and beautiful and amazing. It's very important. I have to confess, I'm not much of a philosopher, but philosophy is very important. The first principles that you base everything that you understand and how you see the world and act in the world, those first principles are so important, and that's essentially what philosophy is. And if you get off track in those first principles, you just get further and further off track the further you go, right? And I think that our world has been off track for some time now, at least several hundred years, sort of philosophically. It's a poor man, he gets dumped on a lot, but and I'm going to pile on today too as well, but who sort of gets the credit for a great shift in these first principles and this philosophical outlook that sort of underlies everything else. It was a philosopher named Descartes, René Descartes. He's famous for this, his proposition, I think, therefore I am, cogito ergo sum. And the problem with that fundamentally is not going into a whole lot of detail because I'm not a great philosopher at all, but is that it starts with the self. That's the problem. And that the first principles are founded on the self. And the big problem with that is that it's just simply not true. And it leads to great frustration and kind of insanity in a sense, in a way, the further and further you go down that track. And our world has really bought into that, that we think that we can project reality from within ourselves into the world. And that's a recipe for frustration at best, and maybe madness at worst. Our first principles as Christians are not anything to start with me. We have this beautiful definition, I think the most simple and maybe profound definition there is of God. We had in our second reading today from the first letter of John. You all know it. God is love. That's the most profound definition of God, I think, that we as human beings are capable of. But even at that, it's very lacking, because any definition that a human being is going to offer of God is going to be lacking, right? But what's important about that is if God is love, this is where the nerdy sort of grammatical side of me comes out. Sorry about that. Love is a transitive verb, isn't it? You can't love in the abstract. You have to love something, right? Or somebody. Love has to have an object. It has to have an object. And so if God is love, what is the object of God's love? Well, in sort of the madness of our modern world, we might say, oh, that's right, it's me, right? Well, then I become a necessary being. I have to exist for God to have loved me from all eternity, right? That's madness. That really is madness. And so we have revealed to us the Trinity. That definition of God is also sort of a proof of the Trinity. Because who can God have loved from all eternity? God has loved that perfect image of himself, which is the Son. God the Father has loved the Son perfectly and fully for all eternity. And that love is itself so dynamic and real that it is a person, the Holy Spirit. And again, in a great mystery, God decided that that love had to be shared. It had to burst out of the Trinity. And that is when God created all that is, in order to love it, in order to love us, and that we might love him. And that's the great act of the Holy Spirit. If you think of in the creed that we'll say in just a few minutes, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. The Lord and giver of life. Again, sort of the nerdy grammatical side of me comes out. In Latin, that's Dominum et vivificantem. Giver of life in Latin, vivificantem. It's actually a verb. It's a participle, really, but it's a verbal form. It's not a thing, but an act. And so God loved the world into being. This God who is love, and who is, in and of himself, is a loving communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not some, exalted, isolated, unitary individual, the Cartesian individual, but this being who loves and loves in communion and loves extravagantly. Jesus says in the gospel, as the Father loves me, so I love you. Is your head exploding right now? It ought to be. Or maybe better, your heart. The love that God the Father, the source of all that is, the love that with which he loves God the Son, which is the entirety of his everything, that is the love that Jesus, God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, loves you. And it's the only thing that can fulfill you and satisfy you. And if we try to fulfill and satisfy ourselves with anything else, most especially with anything of our own creation, anything of our own projection, anything of our own desire or longing or doing, other than the love of God, we will be frustrated and depressed and angry because it will not be enough. Your heart is made for the infinite love of God, and it's the only thing that can fill your heart. We tend to give God a bad reputation. Some of us Christians do. Making him out to be like what I call the whack-a-mole God. Have you ever seen this arcade game where these little critters like stick their heads up and you got to like whack them on the head? A lot of people look at God that way and tell other people that that's what God is like. He's just waiting to whack us on the head, right? Wrong. God is love. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Love one another as I love you. And how does he love us? He loves us the way that God the Father loves him. And so we were made for love. We were made for this total receiving of love. Because again, in that second reading, St. John tells us, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but what? That God has loved us first. And so we are made to receive the love of God. And then, but only then, to follow that new commandment of love, to love one another as he has loved us. Those are our first principles. That is our philosophy. That is the way we see the world and operate and live in the world, in this communion of love and obedience. Did you hear that too? That if you love him, you will keep his commandments. And who is the model for us? If this all seems kind of abstract, and I'm sorry, it has been kind of abstract. Here is the perfect model right there. There she is. Receptive to the love of God for her. Allowing God to love her in this extravagant way, to exalt her beyond any hope or expectation she might have. And then to be able to be the mother of love. And so let's get these first principles right. It ain't about you, and it ain't about me. It's about the love of God. The love of the Father for the Son, who is the Holy Spirit, who burst forth in an abundance of love, causing everything to be, including you and me, and loving us enough that we could love him back. Being so willing and eager and desirous for us to be able to love that he went to the cross. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us. Let's get these first things right.